3, 2, 1.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the TNT NewsHour on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and we were having a couple of technical snafus, which happens sometimes, and we're a little late coming on board, but we did. Welcome. Welcome. You're going to hear the news like you don't hear it on mainstream. Going to try to give you some updates on what's going on with the U.S. elections, some of the caucuses, and try to give you some insight on where we may be headed in this United States of America. Welcome. Well, what are we going to talk about today? Well, the latest news reports are basically saying that Barack Obama has clinched enough delegates for the Democratic nomination. Let's examine the history here a little bit, and let's talk about what's really going on, or if anyone can actually figure it out, I guess I would be as amazed as the next guy or gal. We have a tremendous amount of obfuscation going on, and I can tell you that I have talked to some people who have been at some of the recent caucuses, the one that occurred in Washington State. Basically, this is a delegates convention I'm referring to, and we're talking about who's going to get what superdelegates. After the people vote, these delegates go to a meeting, and they actually decide how they're going to split the vote so that they can get the candidate of preference up front. Now, during the original primary elections, some states call them caucuses, there were numerous, and I'm not saying just a few, numerous charges of election fraud going on. And this election fraud was going on, starting with Iowa and New Hampshire, and there was an investigation that went on with the New Hampshire Election Board. There was a crew of independent journalists going around videotaping comings and goings at the election building, let's say the Board of Elections special location for safeguarding all of the ballot boxes, and I understand that they had a combination of ballot boxes and electronic votes. It's not really clear, other than the fact that these ballot boxes were available and had been taken in and out of the election board building, or the building where they had chosen to safeguard these ballots. People had keys to the building. They could go there in the middle of the night. In fact, they found people going in 11:30 at night, walking out sometime later with boxes. And these boxes were the ballot boxes. The ballot boxes were originally kept with a law enforcement agency. I believe it might have been the State Highway Patrol in New Hampshire. And they had this removable tape. It was the most incredible tape I've ever seen. You put it on a cardboard box. Now, any of you who have ever received a package in the mail or have actually just taken some of your possessions, put them in a cardboard box and put some tape on it. When you peel the tape off, inevitably you peel off part of the cardboard. It happens. And it happens quite frequently. In fact, it'll happen 99.9% of the time. Now, they have these special seals that they put on these election boxes, and we're talking about cardboard boxes or maybe some plastic boxes with a plastic top. And again, the tape is draped over the top in one direction and possibly another, making sort of a crisscross pattern, or merely just putting this tape across the box. And if the tape is there, then you're to presume no one has tampered with the ballots, no one has removed ballots, no one has altered the ballots, no one has added ballots, or just played any kind of game, switched them with other information. And these investigators, independent journalists, went to the location and actually walked in the room where these ballot boxes were being kept after they had been told on camera. And you could Google New Hampshire election fraud and probably come up with the video pretty easily. It was posted for a long time on Google Video. They went in to this room after being told that all the ballots were safe, that they were going to be secured, and that the building was locked, so therefore the room that the ballots were kept in did not have to be locked. Hogwash. So the people themselves that were documenting this went in to the room and pulled the tape off the box. And the tape came off the box as if you were taking a piece of paper off of your desk. No residue, no adhesion, there was no cardboard stuck to the bottom of the tape, and you could put the tape right back on. In fact, some of the tape was sloppily put on. It wasn't put on like anyone intended for it to be any kind of a seriously permanent type of seal. Now, they put the tape back on the box, and they pulled it off again, and they did this three or four times. And on each occasion, there was no evidence of this tape having been removed from the box by pulling up part of the cardboard. You could, if you reapplied the tape and didn't do it exactly over the a possible tear, it would be evident that, hey, this tape has been removed and someone has reattached it, and you can tell because this piece of cardboard is skewed away from the original adhesion point. So, not to belabor that, these official seals that have this removable tape were used on these boxes, and they documented the fraud, and yet they just covered it up. There was to be a hearing April 18th of this year in Washington, and the respondent to the lawsuit filed in federal court, Albert Howard, who was himself a presidential candidate from Michigan, who moved to New Hampshire, and then moved to Boston, supposedly to be monitoring this investigation of the fraud, all of a sudden comes to an agreement with the election officials. They have this hearing. There was not another word published about the election fraud. In fact, Mr. Howard moved his family of eight children and his wife eventually to Boston, and donors were giving him money so he could continue this investigation of the vote fraud. Well, to make a long story short, the next thing is Mr. Howard is sending people emails from Israel. He's standing at the Wailing Wall. Mr. Howard is a black man. Not that that matters to me, other than the fact that there he is in Israel, and he's wearing a cloth with the six-pointed star. Now, some people refer to that as the Star of David. My research tells me that that's not actually the Star of David. It's erroneously called that. But nonetheless, Mr. Howard is showing he has ties to Israel, which I found extremely interesting. And so another Republican candidate who's getting no exposure is actually involved in the investigation of the New Hampshire vote fraud. It gets swept under the rug. Meanwhile, Ron Paul is running against the establishment, against the mainstream Republican choice, the Republican candidates. In this case, at the time, we were talking about people like Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Huckabee, Fred Thompson. They had to throw him in there. I think at one point there were 10 or 12 candidates. Tom Tancredo was another one. I'm just pulling these from memory. I'm not reading them from a list. But, of course, it didn't take long, and all of these people went by the wayside. And one rather obscure candidate, actually appearing very dysfunctional, John McCain, all of a sudden is catapulted to the top. And there's a history behind why this occurred. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's go back now to the Washington caucus. So here we have all of this vote fraud reported around the country, exit polls showing that anywhere from, let's say, 70 to 90% of the voters were saying that they voted for Ron Paul. Yet when the election results came out, as was the case in Washington, in Idaho, and many other states, they literally took the figures. One can only presume that they took the figures that were given initially, in other words, the votes, to Ron Paul and gave them to McCain and switched. So you had, and these are rounded off figures, but I had heard that Ron Paul had somewhere around 29,000 votes, or slightly over 29,000. Hillary Clinton had 23,000. Barack Obama, I think, had somewhere around 16,000 votes. This is in Washington, Washington State, which is rather unique because there's this strong connection Obama has because his mother was at school at Mercer Island. That's another story in and of itself. Now, McCain ends up with 87,000 plus votes, yet the exit poll results indicated 90% of the people voted for Ron Paul. Now, at the recent superdelegate convention in Washington State, which occurred this past weekend, I spoke to my publisher-editor, Don Harkins, of the Idaho Observer, who was there for the whole event. And he said it was astounding what went on. First of all, the support for Ron Paul was overwhelming, the supporters that were there to make sure that this was handled properly, because they were already disagreeing with the results of the votes. They could compare the votes to the exit polls and see that there was no scientific reasoning behind the votes being cast like they claimed they were cast. And here, in New Hampshire, where they had some 350,000 extra ballots that were not used on the day of the election, those ballots easily could have been replaced with votes for a particular candidate, just in case, for some outside chance that someone actually did an honest count of the votes. They would have these dishonest ballots in the boxes. And I'm sure that occurred to a great extent, not to mention that the electronic voting machine companies are from Israel. Again, we have this Israeli connection. We also have this Israeli connection with the banking system and the military-industrial complex and terrorism and you name it, the media. Everything to do on this world has an Israeli connection. And it's a very dark, sinister connection. Now, going back again to the Washington caucus, they manipulated the delegate distribution in such a way that it appears that John McCain will end up with the nomination from Washington. But it's described as just total fraud, total corruption, that they're just trying to counter every logical and valid reason for giving Ron Paul the due amount of delegates. They're going to be facing a similar situation in Idaho, and that's in particular why Don Harkins from The Observer was there, so he could see what they're doing. You have to grasp the fact that despite what you're told on the media, that's not what goes on behind closed doors. And that these people are merely puppets for a much larger agenda. So we have a candidate being manufactured, totally manufactured. In fact, I'll reiterate a short story that a military officer in Iraq sent to a bunch of his contacts, and it was sent to me. They thought it would be interesting to read this on the radio. And I'm going to paraphrase the comments. These two gentlemen walked into a room in a government building in Iraq, and this was a United States government building. And they walk into this room, and to their surprise, they see sitting there Senator John McCain. And he's sitting there alone in this room, babbling. This was how it was described. He's looking at the ceiling, talking to the ceiling. He's looking at the wall, talking to the wall. And he's looking down at the table at which he's sitting and talking to the table. They walk by him and capture his attention, and they greet him. Hello, Senator. How are you today? And one of the individuals, I think, was an officer of a lower rank. He wasn't a general. And McCain said hello and said, "Are you the general?" Well, he could tell by looking at the stripes on his uniform what his rank was. And the officer responded to McCain, "Well, no, sir, not quite. I haven't reached that level yet." And he thought it was rather a strange comment. But while McCain was talking to him, he didn't look at the two men. He looked at the ceiling. He looked at the table. And he was just muttering nonsense, basically. He would engage himself in the conversation and then became entranced with whatever he was looking at and talking to it as if it was a person. Now, this is obviously a description of severe mind control and most likely even some sort of drugging or I don't know what else you could call it. Maybe he's got some kind of implants, electronic implants as well. And they're just controlling his state of mind, which can be done. It's been documented. It's been done for a long time. But the story doesn't end there. As the two gentlemen, you know, say their goodbyes and they're leaving him to his privacy, in walk two other officers, and one walks right up to McCain and remarks, "Sir, come with me. We better change those wet pants." McCain had urinated on himself sitting in that chair and was totally oblivious to the fact that he had done so. And this is the man that they have chosen to run for the Republican ticket. This is the man they're fraudulently representing, got massive amounts of votes, which he did not get. He's known through the Vietnam Veterans Associations to have been a traitor while in Vietnam. Many traitorous acts. I have written recently in the Idaho Observer about the McCain family. In fact, the second installment of the article, The Three Stooges Go to Washington, describes McCain's so-called father and McCain. And it's pretty damning information, to say the least. It's genealogy. It's a brand new kind of genealogy, to tell you the truth. It's not following the pre-scripted, pre-planned stories that they create for our mind control and for our conscious consumption, thinking that we're reading the truth. You know, you read a newspaper article and you think because you've read that article that you know what's going on, that you've been told the truth, which is not the case. And that may be 99.9% of the time. There's always a little bit of truth mixed in there, and then the rest is fiction. But if you repeat it, they know they repeat a commercial 7 times, the average person will pay attention to the product, pay attention to what's being said, and they will respond, even subconsciously. You might hate McDonald's food or Burger King or Taco Bell or any kind of fast food. I'm not singling out a company. I'm just saying you might hate fast food, and you might respond to an ad that you've seen without even realizing it. That's how pervasive the mind control is. And people do this all the time. It's called impulse buying, impulse shopping. These states of mind are created. And so they can create a state of mind to get someone in politics to comply. They do this through bribery. They do it through blackmail, extortion, intimidation. And that takes, each one of those takes on every imaginable scenario. So here we're being told John McCain is the front runner for the Republican nomination to the presidency of the United States in 2008, yet the majority of Republicans are voting for Ron Paul. In fact, many Democrats and many independents are voting for Ron Paul. Yet these elections are stolen. They're relying on the people are brainwashed enough that we can just blatantly do this and they can't do anything about it, which is untrue. It's another lie. It's another lie. We can do something about it. But if you're asleep and you're not listening and you're not paying attention to who pulls the strings, the corporations that are giving money to these people to get what they want, to get the special favors, the backroom deals, to escape taxes completely. I mean, this is the kind of thing that's going on. These politicians don't pay taxes. They're not on the tax rolls. They die without Social Security numbers, having made hundreds of millions of dollars in their career through their corrupt activities. Can't report corruption on your W-2. Or is it a 1099? So we have this going on, and yet people are saying, oh, I'm for Barack Obama. He's for change. What kind of change, people? Listen to that. Change? The only kind of change you're going to get is a change for the worse. It's getting worse all the time. I remember the crap we heard from George Bush when he was running. And these flippant remarks they made when he ran against John Kerry, and the remarks that Kerry made. You know, Kerry was a punching bag for the Bush family during that election. This young kid that had a background of alcoholism and drug use and was flying drugs for the CIA in Vietnam and in Cambodia and Laos and all over the world under Richard Nixon, under Richard Nixon's SUMS program, is up there sparring out with a guy that got lucky. And, you know, remember John Kerry threw his medals away from Vietnam. But then what did he do? He married into the wealthy Hines family. See, all these guys marry into these rich families. Can't you see what's going on, people? Can't you see that they intermarry with each other and they're in Skull and Bones? And that was the reference I was leading up to, is that this thing about Skull and Bones, it's a secret society. It's a secret homosexual society, perverted. And it's a secret society within an educational institution in the United States, where many, many people given positions of great responsibility in the executive branch and in the judicial branch went to school, Yale. And that's some big prestigious school that was able to give degrees to Nazis that masqueraded as Americans and communists that masqueraded as Americans. And they're doing the same thing today. Why stop? They get paid to do it. George Bush doesn't even look like his naval pictures. George Bush Sr., I'm talking about, H.W., crashed a plane. The German Navy towed his plane to a cargo ship with a submarine. It was a planned attack because they wanted to get the guns that were on the plane that he flew. And so they got a model and made their planes with the same weapons. That's how they stole it. And they were doing the same thing from the banks in New York. But we put this into our research, we publish it, and people go, no, that can't be. Our government would never do that. Thing is, it's not our government. That's the bottom line. It's not even our government. These are not our people running our government. And these are treasonous acts. And really, there's a dichotomy here, because if they're not Americans, they can't be committing treason. So why do we have these foreigners running our government? This is the issue. This is who these people are. Oh, no, that's hogwash. That can't be. No, if you're not legally an American citizen, you are not an American. And you're not to hold a public office. We got one that ran the CIA, who's a vice president and a president, and he's got his son in there for 8 years, creating wars all over the world, murdering millions of innocent people, dealing drugs all over the world, stealing all the money that we give to our government. And what do? They take it and they steal it and they destroy our country. And we just let it happen. We just do it without blinking an eye. Or if we do anything, we get that glazed over look in our eyes. It's, you know, or there's people, well, it's time we have a woman in there now. Hillary Clinton is one of the she's worse than, Bonnie from Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, she's had people killed. She's stolen billions of dollars. Billions. This is documented, folks. As did her husband. They made themselves billionaires stealing money. And when you get into the genealogies of who these people are, all three of them, McCain, Obama, and Clinton, they all have connections to Israelis, Zionists, communists, fascists. And you know, these words don't make a lot of sense to people, or they don't hit home, because when you ask someone what a fascist is, they don't really know what the word means. And then when you hear the word Nazi, oh, right away people say, oh, those are the guys that killed the Jews. They killed 6 million Jews. Actually, those were the Zionists that killed anyone in war. It was the Zionists that did that. In World War I, World War II, Vietnam, North Korea, all the Bosnia-Herzegovina, all of these wars that are springing up all over the world. And we've had them in the Falkland Islands, and we've had them in Africa. And they're fomenting these wars. They're bankrolling these wars. And so because someone fought in one of these wars, this makes them a hero. This makes them someone that should lead our country. What? To go on murdering millions of people? Where is the, what is the word I'm looking for? Honor. Where is the honor in having killed people? McCain himself was responsible for the deaths of almost 200 people on his own ship, and they swept that under the rug at a cost of $72 million. One event. That'll be in my next article. The details of that event will be in my next article. Part two of The Three Stooges Go to Washington. So I'm listening to the mainstream media yesterday for all of 5 minutes. And then I had to go vomit. I'm speaking figuratively, of course, and I don't intend to be gross. But that's how you feel when you know what's going on, when you see exactly what they're doing, and you know it, and then you see the orchestrated, mind-controlled presentations that they give you, where they go out into the field with the microphone, and they just happen to get this person that says, oh, John McCain would be a great president. Well, let's go back to earlier in the show here when I talked about him peeing his pants, sitting in a chair, talking to the ceiling, the walls, and the table, peeing his pants. This is going to be, I'm for him. He's for fighting the terrorists. When it's our government that created the terrorists, along with the Israelis, they created these fictional beings hiding in caves in Afghanistan, as they like to say, while they just got carte blanche to steal money, to send 1,000 toasters over there to, and I talked about this last week, to Iraq. Stolen toasters that they stole from a factory in Indiana, the total value of the 1,000 toasters was $1,995. They sold for $19.95 apiece. These toasters were sold to the Pentagon at a cost of $1,891 each. 1,000 toasters costing $189,100. You do the math. And who was the company that got the contract? Halliburton. And I reported last week that the CIA has 40 intelligence officers in the CIA that work directly for Halliburton. And they have another office just like that in the Pentagon. Now, do you think Dick Cheney is not still involved in Halliburton? But we heard, oh, he gave up his chairmanship of Halliburton, and he may retain some stocks or whatever, but he's not making money from Halliburton. No, but who has the contracts in Iraq and Afghanistan? Halliburton. And they're building 14 bases in Iraq. 14 bases in that country that they've destroyed. And these are American. These are not Iraqi bases. Surrounded by high fences and barbed wire and exorbitant buildings. What is going on and what people are hearing in the media are two different things. Now, most people that surf the internet know that a lot of this information is available there, that you can see this, you can see pictures, you can see proof of this stuff. And then the average dumbed-down American is watching TV, watching American Idol, watching these Dancing with the Stars shows and these what they call reality shows. You see, they've created a new level of dumbed-down Americans. There's nothing real about any of these shows. They have cooking reality shows. They have drug addiction reality shows. They have alcoholism reality shows. Sports reality shows. Egg hunt reality shows. Go out in the jungle reality shows. And people watch this stuff like this is really what life is about. It is amazing how dumbed down people are. It is absolutely amazing. Now, there's an agenda. Now, going back to the candidates, it came out, and maybe this was an intentional leak just to put the word out that Hillary Clinton's going to run for the president, that the presidency, that the Bilderbergers chose her. The Bilderbergers, the secret power group that meets in a secret location under stringent security, maybe from 120 to 130 people. They have their pawns in the media there, maybe somebody from the New York Times or the Washington Times or Time Magazine or Newsweek Magazine, maybe someone from CNN, and then the rest of them are these wealthy elite families of the Illuminati bloodline. And they talk about mass genocide and how they're going to spray the skies and poison food and ramp up the mind control and ramp up surveillance and invasion of privacy. Sorry. And what they're going to do, what political leader they're going to get rid of and who they're going to put in power here and what they're going to promote in business and how they're going to basically conglomerate large corporations, removing the number, although we have these supposed antitrust laws. You know, we've got a building in San Diego. Actually, it's in the San Diego area, on Coronado, the naval base. We have a building there shaped like a swastika. You can see this from the air. You can't see that from the ground. But once you see the picture from the air, then you're seeing this swastika. Now, it's widely known that in 1947, and actually it was occurring even before then, it's been occurring over hundreds of years. This is not some new thing that Nazis just came here in 1947. This has been going on for hundreds of years. They brought Nazis into the CIA, and the agency, the government agency called NASA, is run by Nazis. It's part of the Nazi program. And they put the same disinformation and the same propaganda and the same spin out there. And is it any wonder that the Navy controls all of the extraterrestrial intelligence data? All of the technological data, all of basically everything to do with anything covert now is being handled by the Navy, the Department of the Navy. Now, is it a coincidence that building from the air looks like a swastika? We're talking about the naval base, the barracks there, just like a swastika. Google Coronado Naval Base. And the first thing you'll see in the upper left-hand corner is a picture of that building. And they claim that there's a gestalt. I found an interesting thing when I was on Wikipedia. It redirects me to a mind control psychological explanation of why I'm not seeing a swastika in the design of that building. Why my mind can play tricks on me. Did my mind play tricks on me when I saw Hitler wearing a swastika, or when I saw a flag of the Third Reich with a swastika on it? Was that my imagination too? And it was on documents, and it was on their military vehicles and their airplanes, and even on their flying saucers. Yes, they're flying saucers. The Germans were making flying saucers. And so when they came to NASA, they already had that technology somewhat under their belt. So NASA's been lying to us all these years. We have secret bases where we know they fly these and test these and build these and back engineer them. And where do they back engineer them from? From the ones that have crashed or the ones that they've been able to obtain through some means. So this is very real, people, what's going on. So while this is going on, you got your attention fixed on the boob tube, watching these reality shows, and they're playing games with the government. You got to look at who's behind all this. You have to look at what motivates these people to do these things. Where do these secret societies come in? Why does anything have to be a secret? If it's for our well-being, There should be no secret about it. I'm sure most listeners would agree. Even the NSA will agree. But it's not for our well-being, which is why they do it in secrecy. And that while you're busy being dumbed down, they're carrying on their business in secret. It's not rocket science to figure that out. So I'm looking at this building, and all of a sudden it takes me to a website. And I start looking at the website and its connections, and it takes me to three other websites that, actually, it's kind of funny what comes up, but the fact that redirect came off of Wikipedia to me tells me something. That's like going to a library and opening up a book and finding another book that's been placed inside that book. And it wasn't anything I intended to read. It was intended to control my thinking. It was intended to shift my thinking away from what was there. And when I researched the company that had that domain name, I found that there were complaints against this company for fraud. So I can assume the technique used to transfer that document was done by the CIA. I can come to a conclusion that Wikipedia is run by the CIA. And I can look at its address location, even though they say they're in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is, by the way, there's a naval base there. They're also in Washington. So Wikipedia is another CIA tool to control your mind. Here's a great idea. Let's be the authority for what we want the people to know, what we want them to believe, what we want them to think, what we want their reality to be. Let's put it in writing. But what's interesting is I've been able to take every Wikipedia biography on these presidential candidates and debunk who they are and prove who the source of the information, who is behind it. So before you cast your vote, consider the fact that they're trying to sweep Ron Paul under the rug as if he doesn't exist, and they're fraudulently creating these candidates out of thin air like they do the Federal Reserve note. I'm out of time. I appreciate your listening in, and join me next week. I will be your host on TNT NewsHour. Also, listen to my co-host, founder of BBS Radio, Don Newsom, who also hosts this show. And in addition to that, tune in to the Evident Footprint Show, 10 p.m. Pacific. My special guest this evening will be Tom James from Hemp USA. Very interesting information you're going to want to hear. Meantime, have a good day, and I look forward to seeing you tonight and next week. Bye now.